But I was reading this yesterday. It's entitled The Power of One. And Tony Cook was a former dean at Rhema Bible Training College. And I mean, most of you probably don't know who he is. We've had him teach sometimes. But one of the things that in this little clip here, this little article he shared, he said, the significance of one. He said, one of my favorite subjects to teach is teamwork. And while that is a tremendously important topic, we should never forget the power and significance of one and of individual effort. Edward Everett Hale said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. Maybe you've looked at how massive the world and its needs are and felt that your potential impact is minuscule. Or maybe you've looked at those with massive influence and felt that your contribution is insignificant. And then he goes on, he said, this reminds me of the oft-told story of an old man walking along the beach at dawn after the receding of the tide. There were countless stranded starfish on the beach, and he was walking carefully to avoid stepping on them. As he walked, he came upon a small boy who was picking up a starfish to return it to the sea. He asked the boy what he was doing, and the boy responded that if he didn't act, it would die as the sun rose. With a bit of cynicism in his voice, the man told him that there were untold thousands of starfish on the beach, so how could his efforts possibly make a difference? The boy responded, it makes a difference to this one. And as he threw it into the waves. Jesus had articulated the same belief in Luke 15 when he talked about the one lost coin, the one lost sheep, and the one wayward son. Jesus talked about all the rejoicing that took place over each one that was found. People love big projects and big endeavors, but never be afraid to start small or to take a single step. Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one. She also said, we ourselves feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean, but the ocean would be less because of that one missing drop. And then he goes on, he said, if you ever doubt the significance of one, think about this, one mosquito in the tent, one tooth that aches, one tire out of alignment, one pebble in your shoe, one splinter in your finger, one hair in your soup, one string out of tune. One matters. One works positively as well. One kind word, one thank you, one cup of cold water, one pat on the back, one act of generosity, one call or text to a friend, one helping hand. We love the stories of Jesus with the multitudes, but never forget his one-on-one encounters with people across the social spectrum. He engaged in conversation with the learned and respected Nicodemus, but he also spoke kindly to the socially ostracized woman at the well. We appreciate his miracles among the masses, but we must never forget that he said, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water shall by no means lose his reward, Matthew 10:42. You matter. What you do matters. The people you encourage matter. Remember what C.S. Lewis said, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. You are of infinite value and worth. So is everyone you will come in contact today. Do one thing, speak one word make a difference? So I thought it was worth reading. Because one thing that you do does matter. One thing matters. And a lot of times, even in whether it's life in society, one thing that you do matters to people. And one thing that you do even in the church matters. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't have, you know, it's only an hour. An hour matters what you do in a church. Because we come up, I'll give you an example. We come up from Nanuet, you know, we people that come from here that can, we appreciate it. We have a team that comes up usually weekly. And there's one of the ladies, she's probably 78, 79, I mean, she's from the islands, man. And she's a strong cookie. And she'll say, well, I can do something. And I'm telling you that something, you know, when we get on the lawnmowers up here and we cut, you've got to stop if you got a lot of branches. We have to stop, get off. Sometimes we spend an hour picking up branches and stuff. So when we say, come on up, you know, maybe you don't like yard work, get some gloves, just pick up sticks. And you go, what does that make a difference? It's a big difference. And that one lady will come up here and pick up and create piles of sticks. One person matters. Because then three or four other people don't have to stop on the lawnmowers. So I'm using that as an example, that one matters. And I think sometimes we have to remember that you think about this. You go to a hotel, and that one person that's behind that desk can make or break your stay, that one person. Represents that company, and you could decide, I ain't coming back here no more. I'm never going to shop here no more. That one person, how they treated you, mattered. And so how we treat people when they come into a church, one interaction can matter significantly how they're treated in the church. One matters. And sometimes we always have to remember that why are we here? What's our purpose? Sometimes you get so busy, you get busy on a job, and you forget, well, what am I here for? It's not just to make money. The company's paying you money to support their vision. And if that vision is never articulated, all you're doing is there, I'm just on the J-O-B. But you got to remember that there's people above you that have a purpose for running that company, and they're paying you to support that. And it's the same thing in a church. The church is there to reach people, to minister to people that come in a variety of ways. And you need to remember that you matter how you interact with people. So I just share that. I mean, it blessed me. One matters. How you go out in society, you know, how you interact with people. Man, people can go, boy, they're part of that. They're part of the church. I want nothing to do with church. And that's usually what goes on in society. And words matter. Words matter. How we act matters. And how we present ourselves as Christians matters, right? I mean, it's always, I was sharing this at Bible study on Friday in Nanuet. I said, you know, in order for there to be change, there has to be some examination, right? You got to examine yourself and say, I'm here, I don't like this, I need to make a change. Whatever that change is, you could say, physically, I don't like where I'm at. So I need to make a change. I'm not satisfied. And what do? You start doing something. Same thing intellectually. I'm not satisfied where I am intellectually. I want to learn more. I want to know more. So what do? You start doing something. Same thing spiritually. You can be saying, I'm comfortable, I'm cool, and you don't learn anything else, and that's all God can do with you at that point. And a lot of people say, I want to be used by God, but now are you willing to change? And most of us go, that's hard. Yeah, it's hard. Change is hard. Change is uncomfortable. Change is looking at yourself and going, I don't like what I see. Well, then that means you're going to have to make some changes as a person, right? And so I was saying a lot of times we want to be used by God in a greater capacity, but it requires change, requires growth. It requires making some changes in yourself, and that's not easy. That's not comfortable. Because we have to do some things that maybe we're comfortable doing. And we like that. And then, you know, if God pointed out and say, see, that what do you do as a parent? Some of your parents and your children are growing up, you let them get by with certain things, and then they get at a certain age, and you go, not anymore. They don't like that. I don't like you. I don't like you anymore. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Okay. And that's what happens. And when God points something out to us as we start growing up spiritually, he'll go, you need to change that. Well, it's a low blow, Lord. That's a low blow. But in order for us to be used of God, we're going to have to change. We have to change. And that's not comfortable. It's not comfortable in life. Nobody likes to go to the gym. Who likes to work out? Whoosh. Nobody. Who likes to get out and work out? Nobody. But we like the results, right? You like it when you're smarter. But man, getting smarter took some work, right? Same thing spiritually. It takes some work, and it takes some change and some growth and some crying and wringing your hands and all of that. But growth is uncomfortable. But in order to touch that one, you know, I was thinking about the other day, I said, everybody, you know, look at the millions that Oral Roberts reached and Billy Graham. One person reached them, and look at the effect of that one person. And so, I don't know, how do I get off on all of this? I don't know. It's good anyhow. Sometimes I just shared, you know, all of us individually reach a point where we go, you know what, I've been cruising along, but I'm not comfortable where I am spiritually right here. Right here, I'm not comfortable. I said that about 4, 5, or 6 years ago. I said, you know what? If faith works by love, and God has given us some commandments through Jesus that we're to love one another, and to love one another as he loved, well, I said, you know what? I'm not satisfied where I'm at in my love walk. Now, that takes some examination. You might say, well, I'm doing all right. But if you want to grow more in that area, then you need to say, you know what? I need to change. And the only way you're going to change, I made this decision. I said, I'm going to read and listen to 1 Corinthians 13 at least twice a day. I'm going to get up first thing, I'm going to read it. Before I go to bed, I'm going to read it. And boy, everybody in here, if you push hard enough, I'm going to hit a button. You know what I mean? If I push hard enough, I'm going to hit a button somewhere and you're going to go, huh? Or you're going to say something. everybody's got a button, a flesh button, something. And if you push hard enough, you're going to find it. And what I found is that I said, you know what? Working with people, you know, buttons can be pushed. And so I said, you know what? I don't like the way I'm responding to certain things. I don't like that. That's not loving enough. I need to grow in that area. I don't need to respond that way so quickly. Pastor Sarah used to say this, what happens when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste? Toothpaste should come out. He said, yeah, when you get squeezed in life, what's coming out? Whatever you put in. And so I said, you know, sometimes stuff's coming out and you go, ooh, where'd that come from? Because you put it in. And so I did that, and after about 5 or 6 years of reading every day, not missing a day, things that would push my button, I went, huh, I didn't respond the same way. It wasn't. And the power of God's word began to change me. And I said, that's what happens. If we want to change, it's going to have to be a decision. Just like you get out and walk every day, or you exercise, or you eat every day, you make a decision whether you feel like it or not, I'm going to do this. I'm doing this because I want to change. You have to make that decision. It means something to me. And so I said, I'm doing this every day. And after about 4 or 5 years of doing it, things that would push that, the influence of the Word of God in the heart began to influence how I responded. Didn't respond the same. Didn't mean that, you know, it didn't mean that something wasn't pushed. Something was pushed, but I didn't respond the same way, because out of the abundance of the heart, Scripture says, the mouth speaks. So you began to put something back in the heart, and out of the abundance of what you put in, you respond different. Didn't mean your buttons weren't pushed, but you didn't respond the same way. And so we all want to change. We all want to be a better Christian. All of us do. But you've got to then decide, what is it I need to do to become a better Christian? You got to put something in your heart. Because we're all watching the news, reading stuff. You're putting something in you all the time. You're listening to music, you're reading books, you're watching TV, you're looking at these things. Constantly something's being put in. And if you push, that's what's going to come out. Because what you listen to, what you feed on, you begin to do what? Form opinions. And when you get pushed, those opinions come out. Well, if I start putting the Word of God in and I keep feeding on it, I'm going to now have some opinions based on the Word of God. And it's going to change me supernaturally, because the Word of God is spirit and life. That's what Jesus said. And so that Word is going to start changing me supernaturally. So when my buttons are pushed, something else is coming out. So I just share that because everybody wants to be better as a Christian, but the only way you're going to do it is you're going to have to want to make a change. And you got to put the Word of God in it. And we get so busy in life that we're like, I don't have time to do that. Well, if you ain't got time to go to the gym, you'll still be the way you are 6 months from now. Guess, you know, if you're too busy to exercise, you're still going to be out of shape 6 months from now. And the only person you're going to blame is you. God's not going to make us read the Word of God. He's not going to make us change. He wants you to change, but God will not make you do anything. That's what I've come to realize that after about so many years in life. God's not going to make me do anything. He's not going to make you get saved. He's not going to make you serve him. He's not making you do nothing. He offers that, say, hey, here I am, come. Right? Sometimes it's hard for me. You know, you listen. I even listen to myself. I say, ooh, that's a hard saying. But it's true anyhow. If I don't change, nobody's going to change me. I've got to desire to change. And then once I open my heart up to the Word and I open my heart up to God, he'll begin to work in me as I allow him, right? Gets quiet when we talk like this. I don't know why I'm even talking like this. I never do. So you forgive me. You forgive me, but I'm just rambling along here today. I'm trying to get over here to share what I'm going to share, but we'll get to it. It'll be all right, right? Praise God. Amen. That was just in my heart. That was, you know, hope that helps somebody. I sure hope. Help me. If it didn't help you, it helped me just to hear me say it. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. You know, just as to continue, you know, a lot of times, we were sharing this yesterday at men's meeting, that in order for you to love someone else, it says you can't love someone, scripture says this, you can't love someone unless you love yourself. How are you going to love someone if you don't like yourself? Hurt people hurt people, right? I mean, we know that. Hurt people hurt people. So you've got to first know, the very first thing that you've got to know is, even in all your foibles and all your imperfections and all your goofiness, God loves you. And you've got to know that first and foremost, that God loves me. He loves me. But he also wants me to grow up and change, right? But he loves me. And the minute I know that God loves me in all my mess, I can turn around and help somebody and say, man, I got a God that loves me even where I'm at. And somebody go, really? You serve a God that loves you and you're that messed up? I know you. But you can turn around and love somebody in their mess. Right? Not criticize them. And I think that's the most important thing, is to know that there's a God that we serve that loves us. He loves me, not just you. He loves me. He loves you. So when we get that, when we get a hold of that, that he really loves me and he cares for me, he's thinking about me all the time. And he wants me to succeed and be blessed and prosperous. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. I said, anybody who's a dad or a mom, everything they do is because they love their kids. Everything they do. And what do kids do? Well, I expect that. You're my mom and dad. I expect that. Yeah, but they're not getting it, that everything mom and dad did is because they love you. And sometimes we can come to God and say, oh, I expect that of God. But yes, that's true. But he's doing it because he loves us. How God so loved, John 3:16, how God so loved the world that he did something. He gave. And so we always must never forget the whole purpose that we're here is to love people. God so loved. Well, he said, you are to love as I have loved. So that means I'm supposed to love like him. And people go, how was that? He don't love me. Really? So if you don't get that, then why am I going to church? What am I doing all this for? It's because we're to love people. And if you don't get that, that's why we come, that's why we learn, that's why we fellowship, so that I can grow in Christ, I can grow in love, so I can reach people. Because the devil hates people. That's why, I mean, all you got to do is look in society. People hating people. Well, who's influencing the people to hate people? Sure, in God, it's the devil. John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He destroys people, and he destroys people through people because that's what they've been feeding on. I hate these people. I hate the whatever. They fed on that so long, and people destroy people. But how are we going to change that? To get the love of God in us so we can love people that we don't love in the natural. He says, I don't like them people. What? God loves all people. So that means we need to love all people. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. But in order for us to have that kind of just be at the surface and bubble over, I got to put that in me. Got to put it in me. And it can't be every once in a while. It's got to be consistent, and it's got to be determined that I want to walk in a greater measure of love. I want to walk in a greater capacity to love. And so in order to do that, I've got to purpose to put the Word of God in me. And I'm telling you, I put 1 Corinthians 13 in there every day. Are we perfect? No. But if I want to achieve a goal, I've got to purpose to get there. I got to do something. I got to. Or a year from now, I'm going to be the same. And the only person I'm going to blame is me. That's it. Anyways, let's get over and to just share for a few minutes. Man, how did I get off on this? Whew. Yeah, okay, thank you. Anyways, let me just say this, because I'm going to get to my message here in a minute. We'll share a few minutes. But, you know, when we talk about growing greater in a greater measure of love, if you got your Bible, turn over to Matthew 24. This was Jesus speaking. And he said in verse 12, and he's sharing here, and this from Matthew 24, verse 3 to 14, it's the signs of the ends of the signs of the end of the age. And Jesus is sharing, and he goes down, and he said here in verse 12, and because of iniquity, or you could say sin, the love of many shall wax cold. In a more modern translation, New Living, it says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Well, that's where we are right now. Sin is abounding, sin is rampant everywhere in people's life and living and actions, and their love is cold towards people. Well, we should be shining brighter, and our love should be stronger towards people. People that hate you should be stronger. Well, how are you going to get stronger in love? You got to put something in. You got to feed on the Word of God and determine that I'm going to walk in the love of God towards people. And it's going to be, I honestly believe this, that if we don't grow God, you know, think about this. In a business, if you're a business owner, you look at your employees and you go, okay, that person has potential. So you may work with them differently than someone else. And what do you do when you see something? You give them a little more, you give them a little more, you give them a little more, you give them more responsibility, and then you observe, you watch, you give them a little more, and you watch to see how they handle it. And they have to then be willing to change. because they're going to get some more responsibility. They're going to have to be willing to adapt into that position, right, and grow. Same thing with spiritual things. God will put us in positions to love people, and then he'll see how we act. And then he may remind us through the word, remember? Or he may remind us, you need to feed on this. Hey, okay, I don't have time for that. And then you're going to be used. God is never going to put us in a position where we just fail and fail and fail and fail. He's never going to put us in a position where we can't handle something. He's given us all the things that we need to walk in life. So if we want to be used, I believe as we grow in love, God is going to put us in some very, very tough spots to reach people that might be not reachable. And he's going to use us in a greater capacity, but we're going to have to grow to be used in that way. So, let's share for a few minutes. Sharing some thoughts. I've been sharing some thoughts in the other location about words and affirmations. So this, if you want to entitle this, it's called The Power of Affirmations. In other words, when you believe something, you affirm something. So the power of something you affirm, or you could say the power of words, I'm just going to entitle this Words Matter. But when we talk about affirming something, you know, when I just talk about the power of affirmations, this is just dictionary. To affirm something means to do what? To validate or to confirm something. You're validating. When you affirm something, you're validating something. And it means to assert something such as a judgment or decree. It also means to show or express a strong belief in or dedication to something. You're affirming something. And so it also, a synonym of that word means to assert something. You know, we all do that all the time. We assert an opinion. We assert or declare or profess something. I like this word assert, which is a synonym, something that is means something similar to the word affirm. To assert means it implies stating confidently without the need for proof or regard for evidence. I'm so convinced I don't need evidence. That's faith. Faith believes, faith is the foundation. Faith is the substance of something hoped for, the evidence of something not seen. So I can have faith in God. I don't see him, but I know he's working in my life. God has promised me something in the Word of God. Where God is concerned, spiritual things exist. How do I bring that which exists in his realm, something he wants me to have, something he's promised me, how do I bring that into this realm here where I live? By faith. Faith does what? Is the substance, it's the ground on which my hopes rest on. You're sitting in that chair. What is the foundation that holds it up? You have confidence to do what? Sit in that chair. Because you know that concrete floor is holding it up. My faith is the ground that supports my expectation. I'm expecting God to do something for me because he said it in the Word of God, and I have faith for that. And that faith takes what God promised, and he begins to do what? Bring it over into this realm. He manifests that which I desire in this realm. You might say, well, God's not dropping money out of the sky, but he sure does influence people to do things for you. He opens doors that no man can open. He can influence a boss to give you more money. You know, I think they need a raise. Where'd that come from? They yielded to God's influence to do something good for you. So that's what we're talking about. Faith can move God to work on my behalf and do something for me and influence someone on my behalf to do something for me. So an affirmation is a statement of truth you make by repetition. So the scripture all says that we need to affirm something constantly. This was something that was shared in a book that I've read. I don't have the title at this point, but I'll share it. And the title was actually written by an author who's in heaven now, but he was alive back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, by the name of E.W. Kenyon, written a number of books, but he went to heaven around 1948. But he made this statement. He said, the thing that made Methodism, now he's talking about those that went to the Methodists. He said, the thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. When they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing. And believing or acting upon the word became more difficult. I think sometimes we need to learn from those that went before us. So they needed to keep speaking what they believed. And the same thing happens for us. You can look at Philemon in verse 6, there's only one chapter, but Philemon, verse 6, it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So we need to constantly affirm something that we believe. You're doing it all the time. Proverbs 18:20 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You're going to speak words that will either put you over or defeat you. And we do it all the time. We're speaking words. We're communicating. We're releasing words from where? Our heart. This verse... let me just share this here. Matthew chapter 12. I was sharing this yesterday. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. This is the New Living Translation. This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. He was a little hard on them. And Matthew 12, verse 34, he says, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? This is the part that stopped me. It says, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. That's what he's speaking to them. How could you, being evil, speak good things, do good things? So he goes on, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from where? The treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. And then he goes on, the words will either acquit you or condemn you. So out of the treasury of our heart, it says, either good things or bad things are going to come out of it, and what you put in your heart is going to determine what you say. So a lot of times, if we're just, you know, I think sometimes we have this, you know, I was sharing this yesterday, you know, sometimes people think, you know, certain people just, it looks like they just, life is good to them. They don't go through anything. Huh, really? Okay. Interesting. If you're born in this earth, you've got an adversary called the devil, and he's going to try to ruin your life and mess it up. I don't care who you are. And so, you know, I remember I shared this story just for the sake of just sharing it, that, you know, how the love of God will change you, and confessing the word of God will change you. You know, when I was working for the ministry, this is probably 30-some years ago, there was a guy working on staff, and, you know, we worked, you know, I was always in music, media, that kind of stuff. He was one of the media people. And he was going through a rough spot, and he said, "Hey, could you help me out a little bit financially?" I said, "Sure." I had a little money, I could help. He's a brother. And I said, "Yeah, I can help you." And then it was like, "Hey, can you help me a little more? 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 Can you help me a little more?" And a little more got to be a whole lot. Not poquito, I mean grande. This was a lot of money I had given him. I mean, a lot. If I told you how much, you'd go, "Yo, you're dumb." It was a lot of money. And so finally, I just had to check. Nope. When he asked again, I said, "No, that's it." And then he left. Because I guess I should have thought when he said, "Hey, do we need to write anything down?" I said, "No, I trust you." That's what I said. I trust you. Huh. And he left, and I heard hide in her hair. Never called me, said, "Hey, man, you know, I'm going to try to help." And this boy was hot. I was angry. Felt used, taken advantage of. I trust, I worked every day with him for a good period of time. "You screwed me." Man, I was hot. I said, "If I catch this joker, I'm going to rearrange him." I did. I said, if I meet, I don't know what I'm going to do if he comes back here. I'm going to hurt him. I'm going to do something. I'm doing something. You hurt me. You took my money. Not a little bit, a lot. And not only that, he and his wife worked at the ministry. He was a dope. She wasn't. I use that word. And so I was stewing over this. And I heard this down here from the Holy Ghost. "Let it go." You know what I said? "No! No, I'm angry." And you need to be real. God knew that. He knew I was stewing over it. He knew I was upset. He knew I was angry. And he wasn't moved by my tort. "No." I meant it. "No. I'm not letting it go. I'm angry." It didn't move God. He gently said again, "Let it go." And it was like 3, 4, 5, 6 times. "No. I'm hot." And then finally one day I'm home and I go, I'm quiet. I went, "All right, I'll let it go. But I sure don't want to." Still didn't move him. And that's why I say, God wasn't going to make me change. I had to decide to change. Same thing with walking in love. He wasn't going to make me change. He just said, "Let it go. Just let it go." Because the word of God, he didn't put it up my face and say, "If you hold on to bitterness, is not going to go well for you. It's going to go worse for you than the one that got the money. But he didn't say that in my face. He didn't put it. He just said, let it go. So after a period of months, I said, all right, okay, I'll do it. I sure didn't want to. My flesh, because what ends up happening is you stew on that. You've been meditating on it. You've been thinking on it. It becomes a grip. And it becomes harder to let go. But the minute I said yes, I then opened my heart up to God. Sure didn't want to. In the natural, I didn't. But I said, I gripped my teeth. I'm serious. I remember, I walked on the floor, I let this money go in Jesus' name. Sure wasn't anything, you know, that was like, yes. But the minute I did that, and I kept doing it every day, every day, every day, got a little easier, got a little easier, got a little lighter, got a little easier every day. And then over a period of time, I went, I'm free of this. It didn't have a hold on me anymore. Didn't have a hold on my mind, didn't have a hold on my heart. And I'm so glad because he showed up at church. And he came back to the sound booth because I was running the sound in the arena. And he came over and put his hand out. Hey, brother, how you doing? Never said anything about the money. Hey, sorry about that. I just put my hand out and said, it's good to see you. And I meant it from here. And I felt sorry. And I had heard afterwards through some people he'd done the same thing to a couple of other people. So I hadn't changed. So, you know, again, I share that because sometimes we think we don't go through things that aren't, that, you know, we don't go through things, or we go through things that, you know, maybe, you know, when I shared that last Friday at Bible study, there must have been five or six people said, "Oh boy. Ooh, I'm glad you shared that. Man, I went through something. I was hot." I said, yeah, I understand hot. I get it. And people say, you know, this lady over here, this one over here, man, on my job, oh boy, ooh, I was hot. I said, yeah, I get it. But we're going to have to walk in the love of God. And the only way we're going to do that, God's not going to make us change. He's not going to make us change our attitude. But the Word will, if we open our heart up and just say, as angry as we are, we go, okay, I'll yield. I'll do it. I don't want to, but I'll do it. And the minute you do, you open your heart up to God to supernaturally get in your heart and start working. And it takes time. I'm not saying this is like, boop. Woo. No, it takes time. But when you let him and the Word work in you over time, the Word and the Spirit influence your heart because you're putting something in it. The Spirit and the Word agree. They work. And the Word is supernatural. And when it gets in the heart, something supernatural starts happening. And maybe you don't even realize it. You know, you ever realize this? You're going down the road. I used to race cars. I said, you go down the road 120 miles an hour, you don't feel it until you get a turn. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, I got to slow down. You don't realize things in life until something puts a little pressure. So you don't even realize that God's working and changing in you until there's a little pressure and you go, ooh, yeah, I like this. I didn't respond the same way. And you didn't realize all along he's been working till there was a little pressure. So it's just good. It would be good for us to take note of that and just make a choice. You know, I'm not going to let the devil and pressure in life determine what I do or say. I'm going to let God and the Word of God working in me determine and influence me, not pressure. I'm not doing that. You have to make that choice. I'm not letting life determine how I respond. I'm going to have the Word of God working in me, and it's going to influence me in a better way, in a greater way, so that I can be a better influence. Right? Because if I respond, isn't that what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says? Romans 12, 2, it says, be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How do people conform to the world? They respond like everybody else does. But it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the only way, if I'm act, this is what goes on now. People said, oh, you're in a church? Oh, you act like everybody, you act like the world. Yeah, that's true. But the only way you're going to not act like that is to be transformed. How do we get transformed? It's the Word of God. It's the constant feeding. How do we get fat? How do we get fat? Constantly eating something and not exercising. Well, how do you get fat spiritually? Constantly feeding on the Word of God. Same way. We got to put something in. We got to exercise the Word of God. And I'm done. That's enough for today. I think that's enough. It's enough because we went over here, and then we went over here, and we're all over here, and I'm just sharing from my heart here. But words matter. Words matter. What I put in my heart matters. Because what I put in is going to influence me to do something and say something. What I put in is determines, that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. What you put in your heart determines what you say. I like this. We'll just share this. Proverbs 4:23. The King James, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, what? The heart are the issues of life. The New Living Translation, I like this. You know, sometimes that's a little obscure. You know, it's not clear. But the New Living Translation, Proverbs 4:23 in the New Living, more modern, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. So you got to guard your heart. You have to be the gatekeeper. You got to decide, uh-uh. You know how sometimes when we're on a mission to get in shape, we look at stuff and we're the gatekeeper. We go, nope, that's not my diet. I ain't eating that. I'm not touching that. Why? Well, before it was okay, not now. I'm not eating that. Same thing spiritually. Before we might have fed on a whole bunch of stuff. If I want to change, I'm going to go, nope, we don't feed on that anymore. I'm not listening to that. I'm not feeding on that. Because that determines what I put in, determines what I'm going to say. So at some point, God's not going to make you stop feeding on that. You've got to make a determination. I'm changing. I'm determining what I put in because I know what I put in is going to come out somewhere. So I have to now make some choices and determine, you know what? I'm not feeding on that anymore. And you might say, I sure want to. You know, I'm looking at Audrey down there. I'm saying, man, I sure want me some oxtails and some whatever, whatever. And you go, man, I can taste it. And you go, I can't eat that right now. I'm sorry. I can't feed on that. I can't. Nope. It's not my diet. That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, things that you've been feeding on, That's what Proverbs 18:20 says. It says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it. So that means you like what you're reading, you like what you're listening to, but if you're going to change something, then you're going to have to change that. You got to close that off. And that's not easy, because we've been doing it for a while. You know, if you've been eating something for a while, you go, man, this ain't easy. No, it's not easy. But we just like the results, right? I like the results of walking in love, but I'm going to have to change something. I'm going to have to do something to get that result. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for being able to share and to be able to share something that will help us. We thank you for the supernatural power of God's word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in us. Thank you for moving in our hearts. Thank you for exposing, even in us individually, the things that we need to change, because we know you love us. And because you love us, you reveal to us things that will make us better, will make us stronger, will make us more productive for you. So we even thank you for things that you're exposing in us that we need to change and may be uncomfortable. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. I hope you got a little something from that. And just, you know, if you can't say amen, as Brother Hagin used to say, say oh me. Anyways, praise God. I just trust that, you know, the word spoken will move us to change. That's really what we try to do, is move us all individually, to move us to a point where we start making some changes. You know, change, especially in these areas of our life, it's a lifelong goal. Sometimes, you know, losing weight or doing things intellectually, maybe it's a 5-6 year goal. You have something, you pursue it, you achieve it. But walking in the love of God, walking in faith, is a lifelong objective. You will never reach. I mean, God is love. So we grow in love, and he's in us. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. We have the Spirit of God with a measure. So for us, whenever we think, well, I've reached it. No, you didn't. Because there's always more to know and always more to grow in where God is concerned. There's always more.